In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our family of perseverance conversation on this wonderful solemnity or feast day of Mary, which is the Annunciation, the first joyful mystery. So as always, it's great to be with you, and we always like to start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many beautiful titles. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. And Mary also is known in the Hail Holy Queen. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's start off our day by turning to Mary and praying that prayer that Mary loves most. And that prayer is the Hail Mary. So let's lift our minds, our hearts, our souls joyfully to Mary as we celebrate her yes to God in the beginning of our process of salvation. As we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite our spiritual director to come to be with us. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has many wonderful titles. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. Holy Spirit is also known as our Sanctifier. Holy Spirit is also known as our Consoler. He's our Consoler, but also he's our Counselor. Holy Spirit is also known as the Interior Master. St. Paul says that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say Abba. Abba, which means Daddy or Father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light in our intellect and to give the fire of divine love to burn within the very depths of our hearts as we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. And enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. So the family that prays together stays together, and I'd like to offer special prayers for all of you. On the Annunciation, many of you are posting the fact that it is my birthday. So true is that we have our natural birthday, we also have our supernatural birthday, and it's true that I was privileged to have been baptized on March 25th, which is the feast day of the Annunciation. What a great privilege, a blessing this was, to have been baptized on this very important feast day solemnity in the history of the Church. So thank you very much. So in my Mass is today, I'll have a couple of weddings today. I'll pray for all of you and your intentions. All of you and your intentions. And first I'd like to pray that all of us on this Marian feast day, we would imitate Mary in being open to the Holy Spirit. That we'd be open and docile to the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That we would say, with Mary, that we would say, give our yes. And we could say during the course of the day this short but powerful prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My second intention would be, I'd like to pray for all of you and your family members. Like to pray in a special way for their sanctification and salvation. Jesus himself said, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Let's pray for the sanctification, conversion, and salvation of our family members. Last but not least, I'd like to pray for all those who will be dying today, that through our prayers, that those who are dying today, that they would be saved. I'd like to pray especially for those who are not well prepared. Those who are not well prepared, that indeed they would open up their hearts to God's infinite mercy and beg for mercy. So those are intentions that our family members that have drifted away, that they would come back. So I think it's very important my friends, that we thank God for this day, but also, given that many of you are offering me wishes of happy birthday, happy baptism anniversary, let's all thank God. Let's all thank God for the gift of our own baptism. Let's all thank God for the gift of our own baptism. You might even call to mind the day that you were baptized and live that day in thanksgiving. Because it all started for ourselves spiritually. It all started for us spiritually the day that we were baptized. Baptism washed away original sin in our souls. The baptism transformed all of us into sons or daughters of God. The baptism also made us brothers and sisters to Jesus Christ. He's our older brother. Baptism transforms us into intimate friends with the Holy Spirit. Through baptism, we became living temples of the Blessed Trinity. Through baptism, also, we received many other gifts. Through baptism, also, we receive the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, the moment of our baptism. Through baptism, also, we received, these are less known virtues, but indeed very important virtues. And they're called the moral or cardinal virtues of justice, temperance, prudence, as well as fortitude. And through baptism, we also received, many people don't know this, is in the moment of baptism, we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Many think that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are received in confirmation, but rather they're received in the moment of baptism. Those seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, very important for our sanctification, are wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord. Those are the seven gifts the Holy Spirit will receive on the day of our baptism. The priest did a minor exorcism on us, casting out the evil spirit from our midst. Then we became members of a new family. And that new family is called the Catholic Church. We all belong to the Perseverance family, but also we belong to a more universal family, the Catholic family. Catholic actually means Katholos in Greek. It means universal. So, eternally grateful for all of your words and prayers of comfort. But let's also thank God for the day that we're baptized. And remember that being baptized, it's a blessing, but it's also a commitment and a responsibility. It's a commitment and a responsibility to try to live out what is called the universal call to holiness. That all of us who are baptized are called to become saints. All of us are called to become saints. Yesterday I listened to a talk by Father Mike Schmidt that he was giving to the alumni of a Catholic university. And the essence of his talk was this, that the most important element of a Catholic college or university is the person of Jesus Christ. Yes, that's what he said. If the Catholic university is not promoting the person, the words, the teaching, the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then it's failed. And as a sequel to preaching and teaching our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, all those who go should strive to become saints. That's the essential purpose of Catholic education, the elementary high school, but higher learning. That those who enter into Catholic education should have this desire to get to know Christ, love Christ, follow Christ, imitate Christ, and become the saint that we're all called to become from the moment of our baptism. So, let's be thankful to God for our own baptism, but let's be thankful to God for the feast day that we celebrate today. The feast day we celebrate today, my friends, is the Annunciation. Also at times called the Incarnation. And it happens to be the first joyful mystery. That's right, the first joyful mystery of the Rosary. I'd like to point out to you how this is related, the Annunciation is related to Christmas. So, March 25th, if you count 9 months, from March 25th to 9 months, we arrive at December 25th, which is Christmas, the birthday of Christ, born of Mary. So you see there's an intimate connection between the Annunciation and the birthday of Christ. So let's go through the biblical passage, and then we'll pull out some ideas for us. My style is to give you a summary of the text, an interpretation of it, and then the application. How can we live this out in our own lives? So it'd be an interpretation. Interpretation and the application. Okay, so this is the context. Mary, is probably about 15 or 16 years of age. She's a Jewish teenager. Mary already has this great privilege that the church talks about. It's called her Immaculate Conception. That because of a privilege of God, that Mary was conceived without the stain of original sin. That's right, that Mary was conceived without the stain of original sin. So while Mary is in her home in Nazareth, usually she's depicted as kneeling down in prayer. God sends to Mary a message. This message is sent to Mary by means of an angel. Angel is Greek, which means messenger. But this is not simply an angel, but an archangel. It's the archangel Gabriel. Gabriel, which is interpreted as power of God. And this archangel greets Mary and says, "Hail, full of grace." By full of grace, that's related to the Immaculate Conception, that Mary never once in her life did she ever decrease in grace, but she grew in grace all the days of her life. We alternate. We go up and down. We're kind of like on a roller coaster. Spanish, they call it a montaña rusa. We go up and down. But Mary was like a skyrocket that took off from the moment of her conception until she was taken up into heaven, body and soul. Never did she vacillate or change or waver in her love for God. Her love for God grew stronger and stronger till she was taken up to heaven in body and soul in her Assumption. So the archangel Gabriel goes and greets Mary. Hail, full of grace. The Lord is with you. When we hear that, hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you, we should talk to Mary as her sons and daughters and beg Mary for the grace, beg Mary for the grace to appreciate grace, which is the divine life of God within us. We would appreciate grace. We would try to grow in grace. We try to avoid losing grace. And that we should also beg Mary for the grace of all graces. Now, the grace of all graces. Now, the grace of all graces, my friends, the grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. I repeat, that the grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Let us also pray to Mary that not only was the Lord with Mary, let's pray that the Lord would always be with us. That we would never reject God. That we would treasure God's indwelling. We would treasure God's presence within us more than anything else in the world. The biblical text follows up by saying, but Mary was greatly troubled. She pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then we have another important word, to ponder. All of us are called to do our holy hour and to ponder, to reflect, to meditate, to ruminate. We're all called to think seriously about the purpose of our lives, purpose of our existence, where we're heading. Then the angel intervenes and says, do not be afraid, Mary. How often do we have in the Bible itself from our Lord those words, do not be afraid? St. Peter, in one of his letters, puts it this way. He says, cast all your cares, which could be fears too. Cast all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. So this dialogue continues. This dialogue continues in this way. The dialogue continues in this way. The angel says, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall name him Jesus. There we have the name of the child that Mary will bring forth. His name is Jesus. Let us renew our love for the name of Jesus. As St. Paul says, that the name of Jesus may every knee in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth bow to the ground. Let us have great love and respect and confidence in the name of Jesus, Mary, and Saint Joseph. He continues, he'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. And he will rule over the house of Judah, Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. We already see the archangel Gabriel speaking about Christ as king. He'll not be an earthly king to dominate and subjugate his vassals. But Jesus Christ will be the King of Kings. He'll be the King of Kings, he'll be the Lord of Lords. He'll be our eternal King, our spiritual King. Now Mary was listening to the Archangel Gabriel very attentively and trying to understand. Now Mary's going to say something, but she says, how can this come about since I have no relations with a man? Now what Mary is saying here is the following. He said, not only Mary has Mary received the privilege of what is the Immaculate Conception, that Mary has been conceived without the stain of original sin, but also Mary was inspired by the Holy Spirit to make a commitment, to make a promise, to make a vow, to make a promise, to make a commitment, to make a vow. And that is called Mary's vow or promise of perpetual virginity. Last Sunday we had a Mass for our young people, a promise or commitment of purity. And how important it is to have Mary to help our young people as well as ourselves to be able to live out our own commitment to living a life of purity in eyes, mind, heart, body, soul, and lifestyle. So Mary is responding as such, how can this happen since I do not know man? Because Mary has made this vow, this vow of her perpetual virginity, that she would have no relations with man because she's giving her total self to God. That's right. She's giving her total self to God. And Mary was using reason. And she was thinking, if I have made this vow, this commitment, this promise to God of my perpetual virginity, then how is it that I am going to conceive and to bear a son and to become a mother of this child if I have made this total commitment to God? So it's a very important dialogue in which Mary is trying to clarify what God is calling her to do. So the Archangel Gabriel enters into dialogue with her again. And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So there we have the response, that God is able to work miracles. God is able to work great miracles. We see in the life of Christ many miracles, but God is going to work another miracle in the person of his mother. That the means by which the channel by which Mary will conceive her son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will come about through the working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will overshadow Mary. It's called the Shekinah, or the Shekinah, which means, in Hebrew, the overshadowing. The overshadowing of Mary by the Holy Spirit. So as such that Mary will not have any human intervention on the part of man, but it will be God's work in the person of Mary. Then the archangel says, therefore the child to be born will be called holy. Will be called holy, the Son of God. Now the archangel, to confirm Mary's commitment, speaks about another great miracle. Another concrete manifestation of God's divine intervention. The other great miracle will be that Mary has a cousin, her name is Elizabeth, who's married to Zechariah. And both Elizabeth and Zechariah have been lived in an irreproachable life before God and man. But they suffered many years because they could not have a child. But here's a miracle to confirm to Mary the importance of her own commitment. Says that also Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age. And she's already in her sixth month. So here, my friends, we have another extraordinary miracle. That Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son. We know that son now to be the great John the Baptist. We see the interconnection between these two women, these two families, how John the Baptist will become the precursor of Christ to prepare the way for Christ. He'll be born 6 months before Christ. Then the Archangel Gabriel says words that are very consoling, comforting, and encouraging to Mary as well as for us. The Archangel Gabriel says, For nothing is impossible for God. I think it's good that we meditate upon those words, my friends. Nothing is impossible for God. God can do what is on a human level impossible. God can move the mountains. God can raise the dead. God can heal the lepers. God can make the paralytics walk. God can give sight to the blind. God can give hearing to the deaf. God can do all things. So now Mary, fully understanding through this other miraculous intervention of her cousin Elizabeth, Mary fully understanding now what God's will is for her, Mary gives what is called her fiat, or her consent. And that fiat, the consent of Mary, are these words. Mary said, "Behold, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word." That is Mary's fiat, Mary's consent. That was, up to that point, my friends, the most important moment, that was the most important moment in the history of the world. The most important moment in the history of the world was that moment when Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy word." Then we have in the Gospel of St. John, "And the Word became flesh." And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So in that moment, the great mellifluous Dr. St. Bernard of Clairvaux presents this as such. You see the dialogue between Mary and the Archangel Gabriel. And the angels in heaven, all of creation, the Trinity themselves, look down upon Mary, respecting her freedom, waiting for her consent. And then when Mary gives her consent, she opens up her mind, her heart, and her body to God by saying, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy word." There's an explosion of joy in heaven. The angels, the archangels, the cherubim, the seraphim, the virtues, the powers, the dominions, all the choirs of angels, they rejoice in heaven over the yes or the fiat of Mary. Then God the Father sends his Son from heaven to earth. Then the Holy Spirit, overshadows Mary. The Holy Spirit overshadows Mary. And Mary conceives by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And how true the words of the Gospel of St. John, "And the Word became flesh, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So in that moment, Mary conceives through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we can be saved. So that is called the virginal conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary. The immaculate conception refers to Mary being conceived in the womb of Saint Anne, and Mary being preserved from original sin in the womb of Saint Anne. Whereas the virginal conception is when Mary says yes. My friends, Mary's yes and Mary's conception of Jesus in her womb is so important because our salvation depended upon Mary's yes. There is a parallel and interconnection between Eve and Mary. Eve was a virgin. Eve means the mother of all the living. Eve was given freedom. Eve was approached by an angel, but it was a fallen angel. Eve stood underneath a tree. But Eve, being disobedient and proud, she said no to God. Committed the original sin. And that started a tsunami. It started a moral tsunami that has repercussions until the very end of the world. So St. Irenaeus and the fathers of the church make a parallel between the person of Eve, meaning the mother of all the living, and then the marked contrast of the person of Mary. So Eve's no to God brought death to the world. Whereas Mary's yes brought the Lord to the world and brought us eternal salvation. Now look at the contrast. Mary had a conversation with an angel. The Archangel Gabriel. Mary was humble. Mary was docile. Mary was obedient. Mary was receptive to God. Mary loved God with her whole being. Then Mary will be standing underneath. Mary will be standing underneath another tree. And that tree will be on Good Friday. It will be in Calvary. Mary will be standing beneath the cross. And as Eve ate the forbidden fruit, bringing death, so we are called to eat from the fruit of the tree of life. And the fruit of the tree of life, the tree of life is the cross, Calvary. And the fruit of the tree of life is the fruit of the womb of Mary. We say, bless the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Jesus' heart was pierced with a lance, and blood and water came gushing forth from his heart. There we have a symbol of the Eucharist and the symbol of our eternal salvation. So we have to eat from the fruit of the womb of Mary. And the fruit of the womb of Mary, my friends, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who said, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So if we want to live, then we have to eat. We have to nourish ourselves. On what? Nourish ourselves on the fruit of the womb of Mary, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, present in Holy Communion. Now, St. Pope John Paul II offers us this beautiful reflection. Beautiful reflection for our consideration, especially on the Annunciation related to what we're talking about. And he says that the yes of Mary, Mary's consent, the fiat of Mary, behold, I am, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. Resulted in the incarnation of the Son of God in the womb of Mary. In a very real sense, John Paul II gives us this parallel. He says the yes of Mary we can compare the yes of Mary to when we go to Mass, and the priest says the body of Christ, and we respond by saying Amen. Once we say Amen to the consecrated host in the Mass, and we consume the host, then there is really and truly a Eucharistic incarnation of Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, within our hearts and our souls every time we receive Holy Communion. So we should humbly beg Mary and her yes to obtain for us the grace to receive Jesus in the Eucharist with great, great love. That's right, to receive Jesus with great, great love. So, my friends, I pray that you'll experience a lot of joy and peace because today we commemorate the beginning of our salvation. So the fiat, the yes of Mary. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to their word. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.